Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. My name is Lane Lohman, the director and producer of the program, a program that my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, began in the year 1937. So what a joy it has been for me to continue producing the program. Now, many of you already knew that, but just in case there was somebody listening that had never heard the program before, now you know. And I hope that you will enjoy the message and the music today. As we often do when I feature my father, we eliminate one of the songs so that we can get most of Dad's message in on the program. So this weekend and next weekend, featuring a message preached by my father titled Things to Keep. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a challenge to you as you listen. I do covet your prayers as I am in revival meetings on this weekend, May 17 to 19. I'm in Mercer, Pennsylvania, at the Westside Community Church. And then May 26, Sunday morning only, Vincennes, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then May 31 to June the 2nd, I'll be returning to Princeton, Indiana, to the First General Baptist Church for a weekend revival meeting. And then June 5 to 9, traveling to Knoxville, or Louisville, Tennessee, actually, at the East Tennessee Nazarene District Camp. It'd be my privilege to speak there. And I'm looking forward to returning to that wonderful camp meeting. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these meetings and as I travel. It means so much knowing that I have people praying for me. So please do that. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience. I don't know who's listening today, but you do. And I pray for that person that might be desperate, that person that might be sin sick. I pray for that person that needs encouragement. I pray that you would use this program to encourage them. I'm thankful for the letter that I received from those dear folks up in the state of Ohio that wrote me just a few weeks ago. And in that letter, they just simply said, keep it coming, please. And that's what we're trying to do, Father. We're trying to share the gospel message so that people's lives will be impacted by the Word of God. So thank you for people who pray for us and believe in us. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Need your help? Don't forget to pray for me. Don't forget to support the program if you can. And you can help us stay on your station by writing to me and enclosing a gift. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Sounds never. This morning from the first chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy, I read our scripture lesson, and I'm going to read out of this chapter beginning with verse 7 and read through verses 14. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. These verses in the first chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Notice the statement in verse 14. An admonition, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. My subject this morning may seem just a little elementary. Nothing really profound about it. And yet it could be profound before we finish this message. And I want to challenge you today with a suggestion that this text reveals on things to keep. Things to hold on to, things that we retain, without question that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What a man says at the beginning of his Christian life is interesting. A man that has been a despicable character, lived in the deep-dyed state of sin, not much good to himself or anyone else, and comes to know the Lord, and a radical change takes place in his heart, a total turnabout. The people see the reality of that impartation of divine grace in his heart. And what he says after his conversion is interesting. It was so in the life of the Apostle Paul. For when he testified in the presence of King Agrippa, "I count myself happy, O King Agrippa, to testify unto you this day the things the Lord has done for me." And he told him about his Damascus Road experience. And there was so much power in that testimony until King Agrippa said, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." But look at that same man after he encounters persecution, trial, shipwreck, stoning, beatings, imprisonments, and comes down to the last ebb tide of life, and listen to what he has to say then. It's not only interesting, but tremendously exciting. For in this letter that he writes to Timothy, and I think in a measure he was endeavoring to strengthen Timothy's spiritual backbone, to put some iron in his bloodstream, to give him something that would hold him steady in the hour of existing extremes. And he talks to Timothy about the things that is needful in his heart. And he says in this passage, when he was speaking about the reason that he was where he was, he says, "I'm in the place," and I paraphrase, "where I am because I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Not too long after this admonition, Paul, beloved, the moment came for his execution. And I see the jailer as he goes to his cell, and in a measure he says, "Paul, come on, the hour's come." And I hear Paul say, "I'm writing a letter. Would you let me finish it?" "Yes, but hurry." And he picks up his pen and he says, "Timothy, they've come for me. I've got to go now." But he said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." He wrote his benediction, folded up his manuscript, and asked the jailer to see that Timothy received this letter. You see, before this time of execution came, in the final days of his life, he writes this letter to Timothy, and he's saying to him, "Timothy, you've had a tremendous heritage, the faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother, and I am persuaded that that faith is in thee also. Whatever you do, remember that God has never given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He said, "Don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus, and don't feel sorry for me because I'm his prisoner. I'm here because this is the place that God has for me. Four things in this passage that Paul points out to Timothy that he should be sure that he retains, that he holds on to, that he keeps in his innermost being. The first thing that I mentioned this morning is the fact that he admonished him not to ever be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And my friend, I challenge you today, every one of us, preacher and layman alike, we should never bow our head and act as though we're ashamed to be identified with the people of God. We have the best thing there is this side the glory world. We have a tremendous heritage. We have a pedigree. We have something within our soul that not only is worth retaining, but worth sharing with those round about us. And beloved, the book says that they overcame by the word of their testimony and of the blood of the Lamb. I don't mind telling you, it bothers me that we do not hear too many expressions of praise and too many people giving spontaneously their testimony to the good things that God has done for them. Did you know that this is not an optional thing? Long before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah said, "For ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen." And Jesus Christ admonished his followers not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which promise was, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be." He didn't say you might be, or it might be a good thing, but he said positively, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth." And I think one of the things that we're missing in so many areas these days is the fact that people are not standing and giving expression, vocal expression, to the best thing there is this side of the glory world and retaining their testimony. Because the world, beloved, out there, they don't mind expressing themselves and they don't mind standing up for what they believe in and what they enjoy. And I think the time has come that we need to renew our relationship and testimony and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, "Mr. Loman, if I was to testify to some folks that I know that I've been saved and sanctified, they'd say I was peculiar." You don't have to worry about what they're going to say about you. The Lord's already said it. He said, "My people are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that they should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Some years ago, I came in for my radio broadcast on Saturday morning. I'd been on this particular station for 35 years. And this particular Saturday was just right at the height of the Christmas shopping season in our city. And our city of 85,000 people at that time, and Christmas shoppers were out en masse, and the crowds were great, just moving along at a slow pace on Main Street. And I was moving down the street at that slow pace, and I saw two ladies standing in front of one of our largest department stores. I remembered their faces, but I didn't know their name. And as I got close by, I heard one of them say rather sarcastically, "There goes that preacher Loman, that homeless preacher." The other one said, "I don't believe that's him." She said, "Yeah, I believe it is." The other one said, "No, I don't think so." And I'd kind of slowed down even more. I want to hear some more. And the other one said, "Well, I wish I knew for sure whether that was him or not." And I stopped and I said, "It's me, ladies." I didn't have anything to bow my head to. Some people would have tucked their head down and act like there's a shame to be identified. Brother, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud to be identified. And I'm not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Some years ago at church changed pastors, and this particular pastor that came had come from a church that was rather formal and ritualistic and ceremonial in its services, and certainly no excitement. And the first Wednesday night he was there, he gave his little 10-minute prayer meeting essay and started to dismiss the crowd. Little lady stood up and said, "Wait a minute, preacher, you haven't let me testify yet." And it kind of took him back, and she talked about how wonderful God was and how wonderful it was to be saved and sanctified. And he turned pale and didn't know what to do with that kind of situation because he hadn't been used to that. And beloved, after she was through, he dismissed rather abruptly. And every service they had in the ensuing weeks, she had something to say about how wonderful it was to be on the Lord's side, to be delivered from sin, to be set free from condemnation, to have the hope that hallows, to have something in her soul that was real. And beloved, it began to kind of grate on him a little bit. And he'd stand in the foyer on Sunday morning and shake hands with his parishioners as they came in. And he saw her get out of the car, and immediately he absented himself from the foyer back into the hinder part of the church. He didn't want an encounter with her that Sunday morning with all the crowd standing around. And so it wasn't too long till they had quarterly conference. The district superintendent came. And they made the reports, and the report was that the pastor was going to conference the next week, and they needed $200 to pay apportionments in full, and they hoped that someone would come forth with the necessary funds so that the pastor wouldn't have to be embarrassed by going to conference and not having all apportionments made. And they dismissed that service, and she said, I went home, and in my devotions, the Lord was so near and so real to me, and I laid down, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, he doesn't like your testimony, and he doesn't appreciate the fact that you continue to express yourself vocally about what I've done for you, but they need $200 for the pastor to go to conference with apportionments paid in full, and I blessed you, and you've got that kind of money. Why don't you pay that $200? She said, I didn't argue with the Lord. He had blessed me. And she said, the next morning I got up and I wrote a note, put two $100 bills in an envelope, and I went down to the parsonage. I rang the doorbell, nobody came. I rang it again, nobody came, rang it again. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that maybe they left early and that I wouldn't get to give the pastor this note with this money. And she said, I started down the walkway and the Spirit spoke to me and said, go back and ring that doorbell again. They're in there. And she said, I went back and rang it again and again. And I noticed somebody move the shade and look through between the shade and the windowsill. And I rang it again. The pastor's wife came to the door. And when she opened the door to greet me, she said, I just put my foot in the door so she couldn't close it in my face. And I said, I've got something I'd like to give to the pastor. She said, the pastor doesn't have time to talk with you. He's getting ready to go to conference and he just doesn't have the time. She said, well, I think he'd like to see me. She said, no, I don't think so. And the little lady said, I just pitched that envelope between the door and the door sill and it landed on the carpet in the front room. I bid them adieu and told them I'd be praying for them as they went to conference. And the pastor told the story. He said, when she left, that envelope lying there on the carpet, I said to my wife, pick it up, see what it says. She said, no, it's for you, you pick it up. He said, no, you pick it up. And finally, you know how a woman's curiosity is? She went over and picked it up and opened it up and handed it to her husband. And he read the note, dear pastor, I know that you and your wife are going off to conference this morning. And they announced at district conference that we needed $200 for you to pay the budgets in full. And I've enclosed that $200 so that you can go to conference with all the budgets paid. And I want you to know that I'll be praying for you. And if the bishop sends you back here, you can count on me to hold up your hands and to pray for you and to encourage you and to stand by you. That preacher said, I stood there and I couldn't hold back the tears. And I said to my wife, if the bishop sends me back to this church, I'm going to get the kind of religion that little woman's got, because she's got a right to testify anytime she wants to. You see, beloved, you can talk a lot and you can pretend a lot and you can put on a lot of airs, but it's when you really put into practice and what you got in your soul, then your testimony reaches out a long way and people are convinced that you not only profess it, but that you possess it within your soul. And he says, Timothy, whatever you do, don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus. And then he said, whatever you do, I want you to be sure that you hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Now here's where I get myself in trouble. Because really, in essence, I believe that the sound words that Tim is talking about, he's talking about sound doctrine. Something that you can substantiate with this book. something that you can hold on to, and you don't have to be ashamed to stand up for it. I want to say this with all the love I can and as carefully as I can. But we're living in a day when lots of the stuff that's coming out over television and radio is not sound up. And the sad part about it is that some of our people in our persuasion is falling for it, because it produces somewhat a phenomenon. Something, beloved, that's sensational with no real scriptural premise.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.